If you would grab a Bible, and let's be opening up close to the middle of the Bible, Psalm 23, a passage I like to revisit every few years. Now, you may have heard about the merino sheep in New Zealand named Shrek. It's a breed that's normally shorn once a year, but apparently he didn't like to have his coat removed, and so he got away, and he was living in caves for 6 years before he was discovered and caught in 2004. Now, some breeds of sheep will naturally shed their wool each year, but not merinos. When they found him, his fleece weighed 60 pounds and contained enough wool to make 20 large men's suits. An average merino's fleece only weighs around 10 pounds. For some reason, well, the people, they thought it was really funny, and Shrek became a national icon. There was a children's book made about him, and he even was taken to Parliament to meet the New Zealand's prime minister. But here's the point that I want to make, is that Shrek ended up carrying six times the regular weight of his fleece with all of the burden and the heat and the danger that came with it. It was all because he was away from his shepherd. So let's read our psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Out of the 150 psalms, well, there is no psalm that is more quoted or well-known than the 23rd psalm. Even unbelievers know it. In fact, it may be the most famous Old Testament passage, period. You may remember after 9/11, when the president addressed the nation, well, he even quoted from it. And so for 3,000 years, people have been reading and memorizing and reciting and receiving comfort from this psalm. It's been used in songs. It's been inscribed on sympathy cards and on monuments and on gravestones, and it's been used in embroidery and paintings and so forth. It's many people's favorite. And I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard it read at funerals, although, you know, it actually has a lot more to do with living than dying. Now, the sheep shepherd imagery is actually found quite a bit in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you look in your concordance, you look up those words, I think you might be surprised. Well, the author of this psalm is King David, of course, who was a shepherd in his youth. And some people will refer to it as a shepherd's psalm, but no, it's actually a sheep psalm because he wrote it from the perspective of a sheep. Now, as you know, I grew up in California, and we certainly have sheep in California. But it's nothing like New Zealand, where there are more sheep than people. And it's lower now, but at one time, I read that they had about 22 sheep per person. It's just not a common occupation in our society. Like, how many of you know an actual shepherd? I'm not talking about our elders. They shepherd the two-legged variety. And so, a number of years ago, I decided that I needed to read this book. It's A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. And that really helped me to understand it a bit more. Sheep on their own are pretty pitiful. If you do some research, one thing that you will discover and you'll learn about sheep is that they're just not the smartest animals in the world. That children's show, Shaun the Sheep, it's completely inaccurate, if you didn't know. I mean, there's a reason why you probably never heard of a circus sheep. I watched a video on YouTube, and it claimed to show the only movie sheep trainers on the planet. And it is amazing how much work it took, how much time they had to spend to just get them to do the simplest things, like look in the direction that they wanted them to look. And among other things, sheep, they're just very notorious for getting themselves into trouble. And they have a problem with peer pressure. For example, I read about an incident in 2005 in Turkey. The shepherds were watching as a suicidal sheep jumped off a cliff. And then 1,500 sheep followed it. The pile of sheep, it got so large that they said the last ones to jump actually survived. Now, something else is that under mismanagement, they can be the most destructive of livestock. They will ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy. And so they're dumb, they're smelly, they're stubborn, they have a tendency to roam. And without a good shepherd, sheep, they're easy targets for wolves and mountain lions and thieves and their own foolish devices. I mean, is there any wonder why the Bible constantly compares us to sheep? So let's go ahead and work through our psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, but who is the Lord? I mean, does he have adequate credentials? Well, he is the creator of the universe. You know, the one with an estimated 200 billion to 2 trillion galaxies out there, easily containing 100 billion stars in each one of them, in each galaxy. He is the great I Am, who caused the 10 plagues, parted the Red Sea, and brought his people to the promised land. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the God of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the Savior of mankind, who came to earth and gave sight to the blind, healed the lame, and went to the cross to lay down his life for the sheep. He is the one who was raised on the third day, as he said, and he is the one who is coming back. All right, but do I really need a shepherd? I mean, why can't I be on my own? I like being independent. Because the destructive characteristics of sheep are often the destructive characteristics of people. Sheep do not take care of themselves very well. As Keller argued in his book, sheep, quote, require more than any other class of livestock endless and meticulous care. Matthew 9:36, it says of Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion on them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Now, another thing is that sheep tend to wander and get lost. They're not very good at navigation. Okay, there are birds and butterflies and sea turtles and salmon that they can navigate all around the world. Well, sheep could never do that. They're more like someone I know who gets lost in a shopping mall and a movie theater. But so that's why they need a shepherd to lead them. And sure enough, people have no sense of spiritual direction on their own. They're often just wandering about not knowing which way to go. 1 Peter 2:25, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Sheep need a shepherd, and we need a shepherd and guardian of our souls. Ah, but are you really sure that people need a shepherd? Man, just watch the news. Just look around you. Okay, I want to draw your attention to how personal this psalm is. Because he didn't say, the Lord is the shepherd of the sheep. No, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, so it's just Yahweh and David. And it said that the ancient shepherds would often name each sheep. And they knew each one quite well. See, the Lord's not going to, he's not going to get confused about who you are. He knows those of us who are his. And, well, he knows all of us personally. He's interested in every single sheep. I don't know about you, that makes me feel pretty good. Especially considering who the shepherd is. In Matthew 10, Jesus told us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. He knows more about you than you know about you. I shall not want. Now, this, of course, means, as the NIV translates it, I shall not be in want. We live in a society filled with discontentment. The world is always in want. It's like they've got this hole that they're always trying to fill. There's this mad scramble for popularity, prosperity, power, possessions, passion, pleasure. But no matter how much they get, no matter how much they shovel into their hole, they're never satisfied. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Oh, he expected to find total satisfaction in that distant country. Instead, he found hunger, humiliation, and homesickness. So I think Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher and scientist, he was right. He said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing. Now, it's not, I shall not want because my wallet's fat. It's, I shall not want because he is my shepherd. He takes care of all of my needs, both physically and spiritually, not all of my greeds. So I don't always get all those things that I might desire, but all of my needs. You remember that Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 to look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers of the field, and he said that we are worth so much more than those to God. See, David was saying, I am completely satisfied with his management of my life. He's the perfect shepherd. He never sleeps. He's always alert to my welfare. And Keller, he talked about the sheep who are in the farm next to his and how the land was neglected and the sheep, they weren't well cared for. The owner was just callous and he was indifferent, and the sheep, well, they were always in want. And he said that the sheep would, those skinny sheep would just stand at the fence, huddled together, looking longingly through the wires at the rich pastures on the other side. The Lord is my shepherd. I long for nothing. And so David went on to explain, I shall not want, in the rest of the psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, I learned that sheep, they won't lie down unless they are free from four things: fear, tension with other sheep, aggravation from flies and other insects, and hunger. Well, the shepherd makes that possible. And green pastures, they might have been hard to find in Israel, but a good shepherd finds them. And so the picture is of God's people lying down in quiet contentment, knowing that they're taken care of. See, those in the world, they're often agitated and worried about so many things, and they usually have no peace. But for us, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, you notice that it's leads me and not drives me. And I heard about a tour guide who was taking a group of people on a tour over there. And, well, she was talking to them about the Palestinian shepherds and how, you know, how the sheep always follow the shepherd. They don't drive the sheep out in front of them. And sure enough, while she's talking, there came some sheep that were not following, but rather were being driven by a man. And you know, the sheep going in front of him. And so she's so embarrassed. And she had to stop the man and said, well, I thought that sheep always followed the shepherd. And he said, they do. I'm the butcher. Now, sheep are said to be afraid of running waters. There's the noise and there's the possibility of being swept out. And so, yeah, like most animals, sheep can swim. But if they have a full fleece, their wool becomes too heavy and they can easily drown. And, well, if they're not led to a good place to get water, guess what? They're going to drink from any source, like a small, stagnant, muddy hole that's just filthy and polluted. It's going to give them diseases and parasites. But this shepherd, now this shepherd cares about our needs and our fears and leads us to quiet waters. He brings us to the living waters that spring up to eternal life. John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Those with parched lives, they're looking everywhere for water. And sadly, they often end up getting water out of mud holes, just filthy and polluted. In the book of Ecclesiastes, which is Solomon's investigation of life, he talked about quite a few of these mud holes that, guess what, people are still drinking from today. He restores my soul. Now, as your study helps, we'll explain. The word soul in the Old Testament, it's often speaking of life, the body and spirit together. All right? You might say it's all of you. The shepherd causes an exhausted and weary life to be refreshed and strengthened. Now, sheep, they don't just need green pastures and quiet waters. Okay, there's something else that happens to sheep that needs restoring. See, sometimes they are what is called cast down. All right, so what does that mean? Sometimes, you know, their fleece is getting long and they're lying down and they're stretching out and they lose their center of gravity. And they cannot get back up. They just roll around on their back looking pathetic. And this can cut off blood, you know, they cut off blood circulation, and of course it makes them very easy prey for predators. And if the shepherd doesn't find them and turn them right, they can easily die within a few hours. And so this may be the picture that Jesus gave of leaving the 99 sheep and looking for the one, which, yeah, it could have been stuck in brambles, could have been on a cliff, but also could have been cast down somewhere. Now, if a shepherd has a sheep that keeps getting cast down, well, one of the best things that they can do is to shear it, something the sheep don't like. It's uncomfortable. Even as strong Christians, we find that every now and then we still mess up. We mess up and we get cast down. 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You see, sometimes our wool just gets too fat and we get all puffed up with pride and other things. And our shepherd has got to come and get us up and shear us with the cutting edge of the word, Hebrews 4:12. Which, of course, it can be unpleasant. But he restores our soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep, they're creatures of habit. And so when left to themselves, they will just continue to graze in the same place until they cause it to become a pretty much a polluted desert waste. And they're thin and unhealthy, just bags of bones. But a good shepherd has a predetermined plan and rotates the grazing grounds. Well, as you know, people are also stubborn creatures of habit. And we prefer to follow our own fancies. We prefer to follow the things that we're comfortable with, even to our own disadvantage and detriment and destruction. See, the thing is, God created us. And he knows us. Look, he knows what's best for us. He always has our best interests at heart. And if we would just listen to and follow him, he will lead us in the right way. But no, we often persist in pursuing our old polluted grazing grounds, which will only lead to broken homes and broken lives, because we refuse to follow the shepherd. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, Proverbs 14:12. See, like sheep, people just can't seem to find right paths on their own. We got to pocket our pride and follow the shepherd. In John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Well, the words hear and follow are in the present tense in the Greek, meaning that they continue. See, they continue to hear and continue to follow. In verse 4 of that chapter, Jesus said of the shepherd, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The journalist and travel writer, H.V. Morton, he told of an incident that he saw near Bethlehem where these two shepherds, they sheltered their flocks together one night in a cave. And he wondered how in the world those two flocks could possibly be disentangled in the morning. I mean, surely that was going to just be an almost impossible mess to sort out. Whose sheep is whose sheep? But the next morning, one shepherd simply got up, walked out of the cave, and called for his sheep. Immediately, his entire flock ran to him without any mix-up because they knew his voice and they were listening for it. And so the question for you and me is, what voice are we listening to and following? Is it the voice of our friends, family, neighbors, coworkers? Is it the voice of our teachers or professors? Is it the voice of our politicians or popular media? Is it the voice of our movie stars, pop stars, sports stars, those people? Is it the voice of our religious traditions and religious leaders? See, I could be leading you astray this very moment. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, you also notice that Psalm 23 says, "For his name's sake." The shepherd's reputation is at stake as a good manager of sheep. Well, here's the problem. Some claim to be his sheep, but they're not following him down paths of righteousness. And so his name is slandered. In Titus 2, Paul, he was talking about how Christians are to conduct themselves, and he made these three statements: that the word of God may not be dishonored, having nothing bad to say about us, and that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. In other words, make it look good. In Romans 2:24, it says of some of the Jews, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." He will guide us in right paths if we will follow him. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." Now, many people think this is referring to the time of our death, and it can certainly be applied to that. But I think it's speaking more of going through a scary place or a situation that is threatening death. And we find it used that way in Psalm 44 and 107. See, I've read that it was a common practice in Palestine to leave the home ranch. They would leave it in summer, and they would take the sheep to high country. But many times, they would have to lead the sheep through these deep, dark valleys with steep cliffs on either side, which would be subject to floods and rock slides and predators lurking in the shadows, all kinds of stuff. And of course, sheep are easily frightened. Now, looking back, okay, the first three verses, you can almost hear the music playing, right? The music playing in the background. It's so peaceful and happy. But then something changes here in verses 4 and 5, and danger is introduced. So what happened? Life. Okay, it's not all green pastures and quiet waters. There are valleys and there are enemies. I am sure there are some of you right now who are in a valley of some kind. And you'll notice that he went from talking about God in verses 1 through 3 to talking to God. There's a change from third person he to second person you. And it's been noted that in the valleys of life, we often go from talking more about God to talking to God. So the valleys are good for that. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that they don't last forever, right? Even though I walk through the valley. Okay, don't miss that word through. The valley is not our final destination. No, it's only just this transition. And okay, even if you live to be 100 years old and you've had just a horrible life with difficulties and struggles every single day, you would argue that it's just, you know, it's been one long valley. Now that's still just a drop in a bucket next to eternity. Here's something else to consider. The Lord's way is narrow, difficult, and a bit scary at times. And people like water and electricity, well, they prefer to take the path of least resistance. But that's not always the best way. As the saying goes, the path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. The shepherd is leading the sheep to the high country where there's the lush green tablelands. And it's not always so easy to get there, but it is worth it. I fear no evil, for you are with me. In the midst of the misfortunes and the darkest times of our lives, if we will remember and realize that the Good Shepherd is there, and we remember where he is leading us, well, suddenly they're not as bad as they seem, and we're able to have peace. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, here's an illustration someone drew. See, the staff was mainly for dealing with the sheep, and the rod was mainly for dealing with the enemies of the sheep. Well, the rod is often speaking of a one-handed club that hung from the belt of a shepherd. And they could usually throw it with great accuracy. And I read that shepherd boys would have competitions, you know, to show their skills with this rod. The staff, on the other hand, is speaking of the shepherd's crook. And they used it to gently lift a lamb, bring it to its mother if they got separated, to pull a sheep out of brambles or out of the water, or back up on level ground if they had wandered down into a precarious place looking for a mouthful of grass. And like sheep, we often get ourselves into trouble, you know, these precarious situations because we're not paying attention. And so a sheep could see that rod and that staff and feel protected. And likewise, knowing God's ability to protect and to care for us gives us comfort. See, as I read the Bible, and as I look back at my life, my mind's eye, I can see God with his rod and staff. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All right, some people think that David was changing here the imagery of God from a shepherd to a host. And of course, hospitality, very important in that culture. A host was obligated as well to protect his guests. And David certainly had a lot of enemies in his life. But they couldn't do a thing to him while he was enjoying the hospitality of this host. Well, others think that David was still using the shepherd imagery. Maybe you're picturing sheep sitting around a table drinking coffee and eating cookies. No, what it is when a shepherd brought the sheep to the summer ranges, they often sought after tablelands, which would be something of a high, flat area, maybe a plateau. And a really good shepherd would actually go ahead of time to prepare it by pulling out any poisonous plants or clearing water holes of debris and that kind of stuff. And Jesus has certainly gone ahead of us to prepare the way to heaven. Now, predators could easily watch the sheep when they're on this open area. But man, they dare not attack with the shepherd around. They could only hope that a sheep would stray off the tableland and stray away from the shepherd. And we indeed have a lion watching us, prowling around, seeking someone to devour, hoping we'll get far enough away from the shepherd. If we stay close to the shepherd, we've got nothing to worry about. Again, we have peace in a possibly scary circumstance. You have anointed my head with oil. And it's not referring to the oil that they would use to anoint a king or a priest when they were inaugurating them to an office of some kind. But you see, a host in that culture would anoint an honored guest with perfumed oil. And so this could be speaking of God honoring us. But a shepherd would do it as well. See, summertime is full of insects, and the sheep can get a disease called scab from a certain type of mite. And just drive the sheep crazy, and they would refuse to eat. And so from what I understand, shepherds would anoint their heads with olive oil mixed with sulfur and spices, which would keep the insects away, and it would cure scab. So sometimes the little annoyances in life, they can really irritate us. They can torment us, and we can get so frustrated that, you know, we just can't seem to do anything, and our Christianity, it gets neglected. And so one possible explanation is that God anoints our heads, our thinking, with the mind and heart of Christ. When we study the Word, we start seeing things from God's perspective. And then those little things, you know, those things, they're not such a big deal anymore. Your coworker's annoying habit, your husband's snoring, your seasonal allergies, that limp in your step, whatever. All right, we realize how small they really are in the grand scheme of things. And that, well, we have more, much more important things to focus on. I read that another reason to anoint a sheep's head would be in the fall when the rams would butt heads for the ewes. And so with the oil, it helps them to just glance off and not hurt each other. You know, they wouldn't get as hurt. And with God's perspective, God's thinking, it can keep us from being so worried about being top sheep. And others' criticisms, now they don't hurt as much. They just glance off. My cup overflows, and you know, this is often a figure of speech for having an abundance. With God as our host or as our shepherd, we have more than enough. He's not stingy. See, he has a storehouse of blessings for each of us. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I come that they might have life and might have it abundantly." So what is this life that Jesus wants to give? Well, I think this might be both spiritual life and a better physical life while here on earth. Not riches, but peace and hope and purpose and a relationship with God. And then, of course, eternal life with God in heaven. Life in every sense of the word. So the small taste of life that we naturally get from being born into this world, now that's nothing next to what Jesus wants to give us. And so under the shepherd's care, you will discover how wonderful life can actually be. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Now, loving kindness, that comes from a word that means faithful love. And well, the future, it's unknown. But a guest with this host or a sheep with this shepherd knows that goodness and loving kindness will always be in the picture. And that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. That will always be the treatment of the shepherd's expert loving care. And if he has truly been your shepherd, looking back on your life, you'll easily be able to recognize it. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days that are ahead, you know, those known and unknown to us. Either as a guest or as a sheep back in the home range for winter. There's no desire for anything else. There's no desire for a change. No desire to ever leave. And when someone asks, what is your future going to be like? I reckon this is a good answer. David, see, he was perfectly content with his shepherd. And he was happy to tell his less fortunate neighboring sheep on the other side of the fence about it. Again, under mismanagement and left to themselves, sheep can be the most destructive livestock. On the other hand, if properly managed, they can be some of the most beneficial livestock. And I've read that sometimes in ancient literature, they were referred to as those of the golden hooves because they produce wool and lanolin and cheese and so forth. And similarly, humans have such great potential. How foolish not to become one of his sheep. And then after becoming one of his sheep, how foolish not to continue listening to and following him. Heard about some kind of public get-together, and this would have been, you know, quite a few years ago. And during the occasion, an actor got up on stage and recited the 23rd Psalm. And man, he did it with such voice intonation and inflection, and it sounded, you know, sounded like a radio drama. He knew when to pause. He knew when to read faster, you know, when to soften or raise his voice and so forth. And when he was done, oh, everyone just applauded him very enthusiastically. Well, he then asked if there was anyone in the audience who would like to take a turn at Psalm 23. And after a pause, an elderly gentleman, he stood up and he just began to recite it where he stood. It's obvious the guy didn't have any background in acting or public speaking, but when he recited the passage, it was done very calmly and with deep emotion. And after he finished, no one applauded. Everyone was just silent. And the actor then said from the stage, "I may know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." This psalm is about a personal relationship with God. And see, we can know a lot of facts about God, but the question is, do we know God? Anyone can memorize Psalm 23, but do you know the shepherd? If you want to become a sheep in his fold, or if you have gone astray, man, you can fix that today. And God will then declare, as in Luke 15, 6, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And so, as the 4-year-old girl said when trying to quote this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want."